Good morning, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join on the phone, online, or via text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at wdws.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome to a Thursday morning here on DWS on Penny for Your Thoughts. So glad you're with us, as we will take your phone calls, your emails, your texts today. Here on this particular show, we're at 15 degrees here at DWS, and a busy show again today. It's been a fast week on this January the 18th, coming up here in just a couple of minutes after the break. Julie Pride will join us. She's the administrator for the Champaign-Urbana Health District. We'll talk about the flu. If you've heard anything in the last month or so in particular, you know that you've either known you've had the flu or you've known somebody who has it. And it has been bad. And so I know the basketball team, in my world, with the Illini basketball team, they've been hit by it along the way. So we'll talk about all of that with Julie Pride. So if you have any questions on this, feel free to give us a call, 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us talk at WDWS.com. After Julie Pride is with us, an open line up until 10:30. Busey Money Talk will take over at 10:30, so we hope you'll be listening for that as well. Tomorrow morning on Penny for Your Thoughts, we'll broadcast from Madison, Wisconsin. The basketball team leaves tonight for Madison. We'll take on the Badgers tomorrow night at 6:30. Scott Beatty with Illini Game Day tomorrow night. And, of course, the post-game show, Scott Beatty, Matt McCumber and our team, Tim Dittman and Michael Kaiser all involved in that. But the post-game show comes up after the ball game tomorrow night. Another late night, an 8 o'clock start up in Madison. Lots of news today from Washington, D.C., from Hawaii, here locally with Brent Christensen and the judge there making a ruling, at least a decision in one area. The REO concert has been postponed. We'll tell you about that. And we'll run through maybe today in history along the way as well if we get some time. But coming up next after the break, Julie Pride, the administrator of the CU Health District, take your questions and comments about the flu and why it's been so bad this winter. We'll do all that next as we get it rolling on a Thursday here on Penny for Your Thoughts. Stay tuned. Welcome back, Penny for Your Thoughts, on a Thursday. Brian Barnhart here in the Penny Chair, 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us talk at wdws.com. And we are pleased to be joined by Julie Pride, the administrator, CU Public Health District. Julie, good to have you here.
Good to be here.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah,
have you dodged the flu? Well,
I have dodged the worst of the flu, let's put it that way. I've had the vaccine, and I had a little abbreviated case of it, which was miserable enough for 2 days.
Yeah. But it has been bad, hasn't it?
It has been the worst season that we have seen since H1N1 pandemic. So it has been a very bad season.
So how did this happen? How did it get so bad? I know there's a big story here. We'll start with a big picture, and then we can dig down a little bit. But why so many flu cases this year?
Well, there's a particularly nasty strain circulating right now. It's called H3N2, and it's an influenza A virus, and those tend to mutate, so tend to be nastier than the B strains. So we've got that going on to begin with. And then because it evolves so quickly, it is not a perfect match with the flu vaccine. So the H1N component in the flu vaccine is good, the B component is good, but this one H3N strain is N2 strain is not perfectly matched. So that means that it allows it to spread. It's about 33% effective. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, get a bad case of the flu. It's still better to get a lower matched flu vaccine than nothing at all, because you do have some protection. But right now in the country, every single state in the continental United States plus Alaska have widespread flu activity.
Yeah, so, I saw the map on that. There's nobody excluded.
There is nowhere to hide. You can only hide behind your vaccine and maybe stay in your home.
Before we dig into this a little deeper, your background, how long you've been with the Public Health District quite a while, right?
Yeah, I've started there in 1995 and have been the administrator since about 2007. And so I've been there a long time. I've seen a lot of things.
Well, that's that great experience, though. I mean, it teaches you a lot. So you've got a wide-angle lens on the history of this, how it compares to other years. You say it's the worst year since, you said, what, 2009?
Yeah, 2009, when we had the H1N1 pandemic. Mm-hmm. And again, as far right now, what we're seeing locally is 20% of all cases going into convenient care are flu-related. That is huge. When you think of all the many reasons people go to the doctor, and then you consider that 20% of those right now are flu, that's a lot of people.
All right. We've got Karen waiting for us here to start us off. Julie Pride is with us, the administrator, CU Public Health District. Hi, Karen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm going to throw you a little curveball because I have a question that's about something other than the flu, but it's been in the news lately.
Okay.
You know, they're talking about this romaine lettuce issue. I don't know if you've seen that on the news, but they say they can't figure out where it's come from, and they're telling people don't eat romaine lettuce, and, you know, it looks like restaurants are still keeping it on their menus, and what's the deal with that, if you know? And I remember several years ago there was a story in the news about a little girl and her family went to the Sizzler in Milwaukee, and she died from eating watermelon. The watermelon wasn't contaminated, but it was cut with the same knife as contaminated meat in the kitchen. So, you know, I mean, when you go to a restaurant, you just don't know what you're getting. But what's your advice as far as the romaine lettuce issue here?
Well, we have on our website what the actual recall for the lettuce was. And the problem with some of the stuff, some of the produce, is that There are many ways for you to get foodborne illness. One, of course, is, you know, not to wash your own hands and to have touched something and then touch it and it gets in your body. The other way is that it could have been not clean and it could have been contaminated on the outside of the product and not washed properly. Another way would be if it was, like you said, cross-contaminated by not having appropriately clean surfaces, including that which is used to cut the vegetables. And then, of course, what is really concerning is that they are finding that there are some things where they're actually, the produce is actually grown in such a way where it is pulling in the pathogens directly into the product. So it cannot be washed off and it cannot be, nothing can be done to get it out of there, basically. And I think when they say they don't know exactly where it came from, I think they know the contaminated, they basically know where they can narrow it down to certain types of where the lettuce came from, but they haven't really specified exactly what it is yet. Mm. And yeah, it's concerning, and that happens all the time. It happened with sprouts in the past. I mean, the sprouts can actually pull the pathogen into the product.
So if you go to a restaurant, should you avoid, like, salads and stuff that might have that in it, or, I mean...
Well, I would look on the website to see what the specific recall is, but a lot of people who will get a foodborne type of illness, you know, you can get that anywhere, including in your own home. It all depends on your own, how your body handles it and how much you get of it, so there's just so many variables.
Yeah, well, the newscasts have been saying don't eat romaine lettuce. That's just a blanket
right.
advice on the news, so I don't know.
I would go to the website and look, mm-hmm. and FDA always has what products have been recalled or what's actually okay. out there. So if you look at the original source information, because sometimes it gets reported incorrectly or it gets, you know, kind of expanded, so look on that and see. But if you're not comfortable with it, certainly don't eat it. And you have every right to ask the restaurant what type of lettuce is in this salad, and they will know. So they'll know if it's a prepackaged thing or whatever.
And your website is?
C-UPHD.org.
Okay.
And we try
Thank
to keep
so
any type of recalls and everything right there on the page. Environmental Health has lots of information about foodborne illnesses and things like that.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Yeah, I guess we should mention that, you know, while people, when they think public health, we're talking about illnesses, but your district and the CU Public Health District is a lot more than just that.
Yeah, we have the Division of Environmental Health, which are the restaurant inspections and things like that. We do radon, mosquito surveillance to check for diseases that are carried in mosquitoes in our area. We have wellness and health promotion, trying to get out ahead of the game and prevent things through education and prevention measures. We have infectious disease, which are all of the communicable diseases, and then your HIV, STD, TB, hepatitis, those type of things.
356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line at 351-5357. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. Julie Pride, the administrator of the CU Public Health District, is with us this morning talking about the flu. But again, we just had a plain lettuce. So if there's questions related, anything public health, feel free to give her a call here. She's been with the Public Health District for quite a long time, at least 2 decades. So does that sound right? And and certainly she knows her her material here. So if someone hasn't had the flu shot yet, they said, no, I don't want to do that. And now they think they can. They should.
They absolutely should. What happens is when people wait so late into the season where it's already widespread, what happens is they get the flu shot, and then they may have already been exposed to flu, and then they blame it on the flu shot. Let me clear up this myth. It is impossible to get the flu from a flu shot. The flu shots we have are inactivated, live attenuated, or they're not live attenuated, they are inactivated vaccine, and we have also some recombinant vaccines. Mm-hmm. You cannot get the flu from that. What it's doing is getting the antigens in there so your immune system recognizes the flu and can more rapidly and aggressively fight it when you do get infected with it. So, you know, get the flu shot, but if you get flu, you might want to try to get the flu shot earlier next year. But like I said, I believe that what I had was the flu. It was a very shortened, you know, 2 day basically of being miserable instead of 7 days, followed by a brief period of respite, followed by pneumonia, which I've had in the past back in my younger days. So, you know, you want to avoid that. And what flu does is it can just basically excoriate your breathing, your lungs, and your you end up getting laid bare, if you will, and exposing yourself to all kinds of bacterial problems.
Where does that myth? That, so that is a myth about
that
the,
is a that is
how,
one.
How
of
does
the,
that get started? I mean, people just
I do not know.
What's the word? Symptomatic?
Yeah, I think what happens is that people, like I said, they wait too long. They get the flu shot, and they're already exposed, and then they believe that it was the flu that gave flu shot. Now, when you get a flu shot, you may have you may have a sore arm or things like that. That is your immune system working. That's a good thing. Some people, although very few, can have a really mild fever as soon as they get it. That also is not flu. That is your immune response, and that's making you stronger. That's a good thing. And it's important, too, that people who are healthy take the vaccine because we are protecting those who are not. Because if you're over 65, you're not going to have as strong of an immune response as somebody who's younger. If you're a baby under 6 months, you can't take the flu shot. So when people take the flu shot, they're not only protecting them, protecting people around them that, you know, the flu could really devastate or hospitalize or kill.
Yeah, the more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. All right, let's back to the phones here. Julie Pride is with us. Cindy's on the line. Good morning, Cindy.
Hello, I have a question. I intended to have a flu shot and then had an accident which required 3 surgeries. So thinking, you know, I'm still post-surgical, that I shouldn't have the flu shot. And can you give some instances like that where they come up unexpected? You know, if you had a planned surgery, it's different.
Right.
You can plan for that. But if it's unexpected, can you give the instances where you should not have the flu shot like this maybe?
Well, I believe you should have the flu shot and you want to call your healthcare provider. I would say you probably absolutely want to get it. And you also check with them because a lot of times when people are in the hospital, they get the flu shot. I know that I had surgery one time, and right before I went in, they said, "Do you want the flu shot?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, it is flu shot day." So, you know, so you might want to check with them to see if you did get it. But the people who should not get flu shot are, it's really a small, very small number. That is infants under 6 months of age cannot get it, and hopefully their pregnant mother had had it and it protected them somewhat until they can get it. And then people who have a severe allergic reaction to a component of the vaccine. But that's, those are very, very rare.
Okay, so let's say a trauma surgery.
I would call your healthcare provider and say, hey, first of all, did I get the flu shot when I was in there at some point? And
yeah, no,
say,
I know I didn't. I got tetanus.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
So I'm without it, but I'm recuperating and possibly looking at another surgery. So I'm thinking, I don't want to complicate all this.
You still should get it. I'm pretty sure. Call, and you can discuss the specifics of your case with your healthcare provider because they'll know all the details. But I'm pretty sure they're going to tell you to go ahead and get it, especially if you're going to be back in the hospital and around people who may be sick.
Okay, good news. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate the call. We're here with Julie Pride, administrator of the CU Public Health District. They cover a wide range of issues, not just diseases, but of course the flu has been dominant here in this area. She says the worst since, what, 2009. Let's go to Bob. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing fine. My question is, out through the United States, not just around here, you have some people that they have a religion factor that they won't get any kind of shot, regardless if their kids or adults have it. I don't care if it's the flu, measles, or whatever it is. They refuse because they said it's against their religion. So what you do with, especially kids who are sent to school with the measles and their family that don't believe in getting the shots, or they send the kids to school with flu, what do you do about that situation?
Well, there's not a lot we can do about it. The good thing is that in the state of Illinois, in the last couple of years, they have made it so that somebody can't just have a religious objection to, you know, a vaccination. They actually have to, if they claim to have that exemption, then they also need to go to their physician or healthcare provider to have them discuss the actual potential complications of that child not getting the flu shot or not getting the, actually it's not flu shot, it would be the shots that they have that are required for school. So, I mean, that is something. There aren't really very many religions where that is actually an issue. And usually what it is more of a philosophical difference, like the quote-unquote, I don't believe in the flu. You know, it's that kind of thing. So what Illinois has done, at least, is to make sure that the parents are going into it with eyes wide open so that they're actually talking to a healthcare provider to get that form signed to say, this healthcare provider has talked to them and explained to them the serious complications that could be caused by their children not being vaccinated against these vaccine-preventable diseases. But as far as what can we do at Public Health, nothing. We just try to make the vaccinations that we have as available and convenient to everyone to get, you know, as easy, and we try to make it as easy as possible. And in our community, we're very lucky because you can go to Public Health, you can go to Carl Presence Christi, you can go, you know, anywhere, all the pharmacies, you can go the drive-thrus. I mean, we have lots of access to vaccines, including for people who don't have any income. So we're really lucky in this community, but there's not much we can do about people who simply just won't do it.
Okay, Bob?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. We need a break. We're at 9:26. We'll come back with more. Julie Pride with us here during this first hour. We'll take your comments and questions. We'll talk about flu vaccines, talk about the measles a little bit, too, a little later on here up at O'Hare International Airport, a couple of cases there. We'll continue with more, your phone calls, texts, emails, all of that straight ahead on Penny for Your Thoughts. Stay tuned. We're with Julie Pride from the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. They do a lot more than you realize in our community, involved in a lot of different things. We are talking a little bit about the flu this morning, flu shot. Had a question about foodborne illness, the inspection of restaurants, dentistry, all of that. There's all sorts of things. So let's go back to the phones. And Joy is up next. Hi, Joy.
Oh, good morning to the two of you. I just tuned in, so you may have already answered these questions. I'm going to ask, and then I'll hang up because I stopped. I'm driving. I wanted to know, number one, if it's too late to get the flu shot? And number two, which flu is it? I had my flu shot in June, which I found out was too early to get it. What symptoms are the flu that is all around? Now, honey, I've got to hang up, and I'll turn on my radio.
Okay, very good, Joy. Thank you.
Okay, first of all, no, it is not too late to get your flu shot. You may have more of a risk of being already infected with the flu or exposed to the flu, but definitely go ahead and get it. The flu, the strain that is predominantly going around right now is called H3N2. It's an influenza A virus, and it is particularly nasty. So get your flu shot. That's the flu that's going around.
And the
symptoms are, the difference between a cold and flu or allergies and flu is when you have flu, you usually have a fever and it comes on very suddenly. I mean, I can specifically remember times when I had the flu where I was sitting there and all of a sudden it just felt like, you know, I got sick immediately.
Right.
Yeah. Your fever comes on, you have the chills, you have body aches, things like that, and respiratory illnesses. There is a common misperception out there that there is something called the stomach flu. There is not. There is no such thing as stomach flu. Flu is short for influenza. There is gastroenteritis, which is usually your vomiting and diarrhea, and that is also very common at the same time flu goes around, which I, you know, in the winter. So, and that a lot of times is caused by something called a norovirus. And that is miserable. You also get sick very suddenly with that. But flu is a respiratory illness with fever and chills and body aches. And norovirus can be caused by, you know, foodborne illness. You can pick it up on the food you're eating. You can get it from your hands. You can get it from all kinds of things. But it is the vomiting and diarrhea. That is a different thing.
Yeah.
But because, you know, it's winter and we're all inside, more things spread around a lot, and so they get confused.
Julie Pride is with us here. We'll continue with her visit during this hour. We have an open line after the news at 10. Talk a little bit about the Illinois quarterback situation, which is getting thin. We'll get into all of that, but we'll continue with more. Michael Kaiser has a news update here on DWS on Penny for Your Thoughts.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Welcome back. Penny for Your Thoughts continuing here, visiting with Julie Pride, administrator of the CU Public Health District, taking your questions on the flu and other topics related to the Public Health District, 356-9397. Text us, 351-5357. Email us, talk at WDWS.com. You see a Money Talk coming up at 10:30 this morning, an open line after we are finished here with Julie Pride. Hey, our new sponsor, one of our new sponsors, we have a few now, Steve and Pam Starwalt from Keller Williams. It is rare to have a husband and wife team selling real estate. Just those two, Pam and Steve, Steve and Pam. They have assembled an outstanding team to work with them on home inspection, lenders, and all of that. We'll tell you more about that as we go along, as we introduce you to them, if you're not already familiar with them. 99%, though, of their business is from past customers and referrals from those customers. So they are known in town, but again, a husband and wife team, and that's a little unusual. Pam, in fact, has a completed training and earned a certificate, makes her a senior real estate specialist. So maybe you're looking to downsize a little bit at this time of your life. Pam and Steve would be the ones to call, but Pam in particular with her specialized training. Both Steve and Pam grew up in Champaign-Urbana, graduated locally. They know the area very well. If you're selling or looking at a home, they can basically kind of hold your hand through the whole process. They'll answer all your questions. If you're looking to sell, maybe you're selling in 2 weeks or 6 months or a year, they can give you a no-cost consultation so you can get an idea of what you're looking at as far as that goes. They can really, really help you. They will be with you the entire way. And if you're calling, and let me give you their number, 239-7156, 239-7156. That's the office number for Steve and Pam Starwalt. If they're out on a call or out with a client, that phone number will roll over to Pam's cell phone. So you will get a response from them very, very soon. And you can reach them at the Starwalt Group at Keller Williams. Steve and Pam Starwalt. You can Google Starwalt. If you Google Starwalt, I did that last night. They're like second on the list there, of right on that front page of Google. So you can contact them that way. Their number is 239-7156. The phone number for Steve and Pam Starwalt, Keller Williams. Let them handle your selling and buying of homes in this area. They will take very good care of you, I can tell you that. All right, let's get back here. We have a text from Bill. He says, if I get a flu shot, I get it early. He says, I've seen zero difference in getting or not getting the shot. The flu shot can't keep up with virus mutation.
Okay, well, that is you. The reason why you see 0% in getting or not getting the flu shot is you're not getting the flu. Some years it's not as active, and some years it is. It can keep up. If it will protect you against the B viruses, which do not mutate as often, but some mutate faster than others. So that's just not true. I mean, some years like this, does mutate more. Again, it will still protect you quite a bit. And even it's 33% effective, that's still certainly better than nothing, and you're required to get it. Yeah. I have people all the time say to me, which I find an odd thing to say, but they'll say to me, I've never had the flu, so I'm not going to get the flu shot, which I don't believe is what he's saying. But and I always say to them, well, I've never had my head run through the windshield of a car, but I still wear my seatbelt. So, you know, they're not related. Yeah. You need to, just because you've never had the flu does not mean you're not immune to the flu.
Yeah.
So every year we have to have it because they mutate so much. They rarely mutate that much within the season, but they do mutate year to year, which is why we have to have them every year, unlike other shots.
They say since the flu season monitoring began October 1st, the hospitalization rate is currently at 22.7 people per 100,000 U.S. residents, which is about the percentage you gave here. And again, the particular strain, H3N2, is especially prevalent this year, according to the CDC. And I found it interesting that, and maybe you can help me with this too, without getting into a lot of detail, but basically how they determine the shot that you get. I mean, is it, I read somewhere where they, from the previous summer down in the southern hemisphere, they base it somewhat on that, right?
That's exactly what they do. They look at what strains are circulating in the southern hemisphere, and then they assume that it's going to be those to into the next one. So we have now quadrivalent vaccines, meaning that it's covering four different strains. So they take the four strains that are predominantly circulating, and they put those in the flu vaccine. Now, with something like an H3N2, they can mutate rapidly, so it may mutate a little bit in that. It's still the same. It's still the same virus, but there may be just a little bit of tweaking that it does on its own, and so it's not as effective. But that does not mean that the shot itself isn't effective. You're still, like I said, I think earlier, you can actually get two or three different types of flu in the same year if you're not vaccinated, because H3N2 is the one predominantly going around, there will still be other strains that go around, as well as sometimes B strains.
What's a high number for, they say it's about 30% effective, if you will. That's the general. Is 60 the high end, or what's the
usually? But it's it depends on so many things, including the individual's a specific immune response to it. The more people that get vaccinated, the more herd immunity we have, and the less likely you are to get exposed to it to begin with.
All right, back to the phones here. We've got some calls lining up for Julie Pride, administrator of the CU Public Health District. And let's go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good.
I'm not a fan of the flu shot. I do like the tetanus shot and the polio vaccines, but I'm not a fan. But that's not my question. My main question concerns a whole different area, and that's public health at restaurants. And my question is, what are the regulations about kitchen help, kitchen prep cooks, waiters, waitresses, busboys going into the restrooms with their aprons on? Are there any regulations on that?
Well, that's not a good idea. I mean, the point of an apron is to, you know, keep things off, keep the germs away and keep things off of your clothes, et cetera. I would have to actually talk to the director of environmental health to know if there's specific rules related to that. That is a good way to get cross-contamination and not a good idea.
Exactly.
But
right.
you can actually call into the health department and ask for anybody in environmental health, and they'll be able to give you that specific information. But, you know, the idea is you don't want to have clean hands touching a dirty apron in general, no matter what it's contaminated with. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why I'm saying that, and I'm not going to name names, but almost every restaurant I go anywhere, they go, the staff, you know, the kitchen, the cooks, the kitchen prep cooks, waiters, waitresses, they all go in the restroom with their aprons on.
Hmm.
And I've even talked to managers before about it, and they're like, oh, well, they shouldn't do that. We'll have to talk. And I still see them doing it.
Hmm.
And it makes me not want to eat at those places, you know. I don't even know if I should drink coffee. I know, like, you know, like the urinal or the toilet, you know, when you flush,
yeah,
that water aerosols. It comes out as a mist.
Correct.
If you're anywhere near that, that's on your apron. Then if you go handling food, you've got those germs on the apron.
Yeah.
Right. And also, you know, aprons touch things, you know, meat juices, et cetera, get on aprons, and you don't want to get those on your food as well. So, you know, visibly spoiled or visibly soiled things need to be changed to begin with. But yeah, you're right.
Right.
In the bathroom, invisible things can happen. And certainly we have, I believe it's still on our website, we have a video. It's not kind of disturbing to watch, but it talks about how when someone vomits, you know, basically how far that aerosolizes and goes into an environment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Sneezes, coughing,
yeah.
Vomiting.
I didn't need to hear that. All right. Hey.
Not me neither.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
all right.
You.
Bye-bye.
Great. Yeah, I don't think I'll be looking at that video. This email from Doug: given the total misuse of antiseptic hand cleaners, sprays, household cleaning, resulting in virus and also bacterial mutation and a consequent disaster, how can we educate the public? Sadly, it seems people think doctors can effectively treat a virus when all they can do is support basic ABCs.
Well, okay, that is true. What they cannot treat a virus with is antibiotics. There are some antivirals out there for certain viruses. And people who are at risk for serious complications from flu, if they go in and they're tested for flu, they're probably going to get a Tamiflu or some type of antiviral that will help lessen the effects of that, hopefully, and prevent them from having complications. But yes, there is this belief out there that every single thing on earth can be treated with antibiotics, and that's causing something that is actually one of the things that keeps me awake at night, and that is antibiotic resistance. And all you have to do is read anything. If you're, you know, old enough, you remember before antibiotics, which luckily I don't, but I certainly read a lot of medical history and public health history, and we do not want to be in an era, again where something is as a small cut or a, you know, boil or a sore throat can be life-threatening or indeed kill you, because we have nothing to fight that infection. And yes, the hand sanitizers and all of that, there is kind of some magical thinking around that as well. It's not, you know, people need to wash their hands. They don't. I always say that if you're concerned about, you know, foodborne illness in restaurants, the first place you need to check is yourself. Because if you go into a restaurant, if we were to go right now in any restaurant in town and sit down and watch how many people come in and how many people then go to the bathroom to wash their hands before you eat, I guarantee you, you would be very surprised. It's very, very few people. And your hands, whether you're bringing it in with you or whether you're touching, you know, a menu or a salt and pepper shaker that somebody touched or the bathroom door handle, you know, you are getting that in your mouth if you're eating something where you, like a hamburger or fries or something where it goes directly to your mouth or bread or anything like that.
Well, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be germophobic, but you want to use common sense.
Hand washing, seriously, if people were to adequately wash their hands every time like they're supposed to, I'd probably be out of a job.
All right, let's go back to the phones here, and I believe Eric is up next. Hi, Eric.
Hello there.
Hey.
I got the flu last year. I want to say it's right around the 20th or, you know, coming up here. Lasts about 10 days. You know, and I got so bad I went, you know, to a doc in the box, and they prescribed Tamiflu. And that helped. But, you know, after that, I was, you know, I got a flu shot. I've had it like three times in my life, and it's always like just a terrible debacle. And it just, there's nothing. It's just sweating and squirming and everything else. And I just hate, you know. The other guy, I do think you need to challenge your immune system. I'm not going to get a French fry, Greyhound bus station urinal. If I try something on the floor, it's like, oh, I'm picking up and eat it. I mean, what do you got to say on the lighter side there? There's not three Tamiflus left in case, you know, something starts feeling weird. I'd start those and then go back to the doc in the box and get another round of it, you know, to complete it. But I caught those in my survival kit. And so what do you think?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right, well, thanks, Eric. We'll let her answer that, okay?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, what you described as flu, you know, knocking you down for 10 days and being very sick, that is exactly what flu is. Influenza will do that to you. Regarding keeping the Tamiflu, that is not a good idea. You probably should not have, you should have taken all of those when you were prescribed them, because just like with bacterial resistance, you know, you don't want to take things incompletely. Mm-hmm. So with the Tamiflu, you know, in order to take that, you really need to go in and be tested, because there's a lot of other things out there that you could be sick with that are not flu that would benefit from an antibiotic, for example, because there are people out there who are getting, you know, strep and other things that can cause fevers. The issue is a lot of this stuff looks very similar. So with flu, there's a sudden onset, but that can be caused by other things. So my suggestion would be not to keep the Tamiflu, but to, if you feel like you're getting flu again, and you've done the best thing you can, and that is to get your flu shot. Get your flu shot, and trust me on this, you do not need to intentionally challenge your immune system. Our immune systems are challenged constantly.
All right, we've got Tony up next. We've got a couple of emails to get to, 952. We'll do that next on Penny for Your Thoughts.
Winter is here, but the deals are hot in Hoopston. Come to Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Hoopston for Jeep Days. They've added a $1,000 owner loyalty discount on most models. So that means deals like up to $3,500 off Jeep Grand Cherokee, $5,000 off of Cherokee, and Jeep Compass at up to $3,500 off. If the house, you qualify for even bigger savings. Ram trucks are up to 20% off sticker, and the Chrysler Pacifica has up to $3,500 in incentives. Over at the Ford store, you can get up to $9,000 off Ford Taurus, $6,000 off Explorer, and up to $12,000 in discounts on America's favorite F-150 pickups. And if they don't have it in stock, they'll find it for you. Both stores are near the intersection of Routes 1 and 9 in Hoopston, and service and parts departments are open Monday through Saturday. Come to Ford and Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Hoopston and let them earn your business. Online at fordofhoopston.com and hoopstonchrysler.com.
Join me, Mark Waldoff, local real estate broker with Keller Williams and DSC board member, by contributing to the Tree of Hope campaign. DSC supports people to live a rich and meaningful life, and working together through our donations, we can reach the $165,000 goal so we can offer bright lights and bright futures to people with disabilities living right here in our community. The campaign concludes on January 31st, so please make your donation today by Googling Developmental Services Center or calling 356-9176.
When someone is in need of hospice care, time is precious, and Transitions Hospice is here to help. Hi, it's Kirk. Needing hospice means allowing patients and families the opportunity to experience the final stage of life together. At Transitions, we do this by providing individual care for individual needs and empowering those we serve through our 24-hour nursing care, social services, and chaplain support. You'll find with Transitions Hospice, you are not alone. You're in charge of your life. Let us help you find freedom through acceptance, because acceptance does not mean giving up, and neither does hospice. It's about living. TransitionsHospice.com.
Hi, this is Jim Bohannon. Join us for the next Bohannon Show with the top stories of the day, some fun stuff from sports or entertainment, right here tonight at 9 on DWS.
All right, we got about 5 minutes left. Real quickly, we'll try to answer these as quickly as we can. We've got Tony waiting online. Do health clubs and gyms need to meet any cleanliness standards? Health clubs and gyms.
Health clubs and gyms are not covered by public health, meaning that we don't go in there and certify them or anything like that.
Okay. You're just restaurants, basically. No,
well, we're restaurants. We also have different contracts for other things, body art facilities. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the things that people think we're involved in, we're actually not. So nail salons, things like that, we're mm-hmm. not. We have to have a specific, you know, rule to allow us to do that.
All right. Back to the phones here at 9:55. Tony, you're up next. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I was going to ask your guest, how can we reverse the trend of having to shake people's hands? Because I agree that there's so many disgusting humans out there that do not wash their hands when they go to the bathroom. And then we're always shaking people's hands to be friendly. And it just, I have to cringe every time I have to shake someone's hand. We do a fist bump or something. And another thing, lastly, there's a show out in New York that really just says, and it sounds to me like you kind of agree, besides getting the flu shot, the best thing to do is just to shoo the flu. You just have to shoo it away. That's all you can do is just shoo it, which means basically tell the flu to go away.
Yeah, pretty much you've got the flu. That's about it. So wash your hands. I mean, again, same thing with shaking hands. Yes, you shake people's hands, but if we could get everyone to stop touching their face, which we all do a ton of times a day, and through your eyes, nose, and mouth, that's where you're going to get, you know, the viruses in, especially the respiratory viruses can go in that way. So, you know, basically get the flu shot and wash your hands, and that's about the best we've got.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you. This is a email from Sarah. There was some discussion. They say church potlucks would be regulated one day. Have you ever had a report of food poisoning from such a group gathering? I don't know how you monitor all of that.
No, we do not do church potlucks, but we are more than happy to anyone who has questions. And a lot of churches will call and say, hey, we're going to have a potluck. What are some guidelines? And we have guidelines on our website that people can use to help that. But do we ever have foodborne outbreaks from that? Yes, you can have foodborne outbreaks from anything, because all it's going to take is one person who has something on their hands that's transmissible, touching a food that's not heated, like, you know, lettuce or bread or whatever, and you can absolutely have an outbreak. And it can happen within a person's home. It can happen anywhere. So, but we do have guidelines on there, and we're always willing to help do anything to prevent things. So if we even have something, if somebody wants to have a little lemonade stand, we have a little cute flyer for them to know how to do that properly. So.
Yeah. So numbers people should call, what's the best way to...
Well, the main number at Public Health is 352-7961. It's been that for 100 years, I think. So 352-7961, and that's an automated thing. And then environmental health takes care of the restaurant-type questions. Infectious disease will take care of the questions about flu, and maternal and child health will take care of questions about WIC or programs like that, mm-hmm. child immunizations.
You were telling me about how many people work there.
Yeah, we have about 125 regular full-time employees, and then seasonal employees who come in, you know, for the summer for the mosquito abatement programs mm-hmm. and things like that. And we have our programs are really large. I don't think people realize. We have a dental program that sees around 7,000 children every year. And real quick, a plug, because on February 3rd, we're having something out at Lincoln Square Mall called See You Smile, and we are going to be providing free dental care for the kids and free oral health screenings for the adults to check for oral cancer.
Okay.
So
that's February 3rd?
February 3rd at Lincoln Square.
Okay. Very good. Hey, well, Julie, thank you for coming by. A lot of good information.
Thank you.
And, boy, it's important, just common sense in a lot of this. But we do appreciate you coming by and answering all the questions, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Julie Pride, the administrator of the CU Public Health District. Thank you for all the phone calls and emails and texts. We have an open line coming up in the next half hour. BUC Money Talk is at 10:30. Talk a little bit here in the next half hour about the Illini quarterback situation. They're dwindling in numbers. A couple of them no longer with the team or leaving or transferring. We'll talk about that next on WDWS Champaign-Urbana.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. 5357. Here again, Brian Barnhart.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back, Penny, for your thoughts. We do appreciate Julie Pride being with us. She does a great job with the CU Public Health District. Got some texts and emails left from the first hour, not relating to flu or anything like that. And we also had some news in the sports world. We'll get to that in just a little bit. And also news from the music world that we will visit with you as well about here with Stephen Benz from the Virginia Theater very quickly about the postponement of the REO Speedwagon coming up February 8th, and he'll tell us what to do with our tickets for that. So we'll let you know. All right, quarterback situation. Jeff George Jr. is saying he's going to transfer now. He's been with Illinois here, of course, for a couple of years, has started several games. He is going to transfer, and also Chase Crouch, who has been a starter, says he is not going to play football anymore. So the Illini quarterback situation just got a little thin. My partner on the air, Martin O'Donnell, for the football broadcast. Martin, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Brian. How about you?
How's the banking world? You doing okay?
Yeah. Everything's pretty good here at BUC. How's basketball going?
Well, we're trying to win a game here. We've come close. Yeah. So what do you think? What do you make of the whole the quarterback situation now? We're getting a little thin. Cam Thomas, of course, started a couple of games last year, but the Jeff George transfer, Chase Crouch saying he's retiring, I guess, so to speak. Did that surprise you?
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's really hard to play. I think sometimes people lose sight of the fact that it's really hard to play Division I football, and really the commitment that the whole commitment that goes into it. And so, you never want to see anybody transfer away, but certainly if these guys, if Jeff George thinks that, it's in his best interest to go and play somewhere else. I mean, I'm always very much of the opinion that, absolutely, go forth and have a new life experience and, glad for the years that he put in. And, Chase Crouch, a little different situation, just obviously he's had a couple of injuries, and again, the physicality as a running quarterback and, a tight end for a portion of last season as well. Certainly as somebody who's kind of in that situation myself at the end of my career, I mean, I always absolutely respect somebody saying, hey, loved playing football, loved playing for Illinois, but now it's time to go see what the next challenge is. So it leaves them certainly thin at quarterback. Cam Thomas is really looks to be the guy going forward. Hopefully, you have one quarterback signed up. It certainly it's going to make an interesting spring ball, but it's not actually that dissimilar from last spring ball with the wide receiver situation where they only had a couple of guys that could, really be out there and run routes. So I'm sure the call will be put out for some walk-on quarterbacks to come on and practice for the Orange and Blue. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they have the young man, from Texas, Rivers, who is going to be coming too,
mm-hmm.
ultimately. So
yeah.
That'll help.
Yeah, I think, MJ Rivers is definitely, he's signed his national letter of intent, and, I'm sure they're going to want to get another quarterback in there. Corian Taylor out of Peoria is, still committed, and hopefully he's able to sign here in February. So, certainly think it'll be an open competition. I think the bigger question now is, okay, who's the offensive coordinator that's going to be, guiding that offense? But, you'd assume that, Coach Smith is going to kind of keep with a running quarterback mentality. At least that's my assumption, just kind of given what it can do for you offensively. But yeah, it's there's been a decent amount of transfers, which isn't altogether surprising when you have new coaching staff and new philosophies coming in. And certainly, wish all those guys the best. Jeff George certainly among them.
Yeah, you and I talked during the football season on and off the air about the quarterback spot and the direction they're heading. It is interesting. I don't know what's going on exactly behind the scenes with the offensive coordinator search, but it does seem like it's taking longer than I think people thought it would, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what the actual expectation was. I think there was having an expectation that that role would be filled here before the coaches went back out and recruited. But I think just in general, I think the timeline seemed to be a little bit off this year with a lot of things, just kind of given that early signing period and, coaches and staff working around that. And then, of course, you had a couple of other, you had some head coaching changes, after that signing period, Rich Rodriguez at Arizona for one. So I think the coaching carousel is always kind of spinning and a little interesting, mm-hmm. but I, certainly would hope to you know, would hope to have that that position filled right. sooner rather than later, just so they can start, you know, really planning for spring ball and finish up the recruiting class.
Yeah, I think Cam Thomas, and he's the lone guy right now, basically, on scholarship. Of course, Rivers is going to be coming, but that type of quarterback, that's kind of where we're headed, I think, right? That mobile dual-threat quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I would think so. I would think if they were switching offenses and going to a more pro style, then Junior might have stayed in that instance.
Yeah.
But I think certainly what you know, Coach Smith and you know Garrick McGee as the offensive coordinator previously. But you know, I think you go to the college game and you just look around, and having a quarterback that can run is such an advantage to your offense and making the defense kind of defend that extra player. It's almost like having an extra blocker out there for plays that. You know, we don't always had, you know, successful offenses here really over the past decade plus. It's been, you know, with those mobile quarterbacks, the Juice Williams, Nathan Shieldhouse, and even, you know, Riley O'Toole out there getting Illinois to a bowl game in 2014 was really because, yeah, Riley could throw, but he was also dangerous enough with his legs that opposing defenses had to respect him.
Hey, Martin, thanks for coming on a few minutes. I wanted to get an expert opinion, and you're the expert I know, so.
Wow. Well, you got to start meeting more people, Brian. Well, no.
All right.
Appreciate you having me.
Thank you, Martin. Thanks for the time. There you go. So Martin O'Donnell talking about the quarterback situation at Illinois. Let's go to Alan up next. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Brian. I actually called about that. I didn't know you were going to have Martin O'Donnell. I guess the question I had was, has anything really changed on the Corin Taylor situation in Peoria? I've heard bits and pieces going both ways.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out here in when is it's early February, so we're not that far away.
Well, I just wanted to know if those academics are done, and if maybe now we're not going to try to get another quarterback in this next signing period.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to do something. Something's going to have to
at least three.
Yeah, you're going to have, yeah, you're right, you know.
Not going to have a spring game, apparently.
What's that?
Not going to have a spring game, apparently. I don't see how you can have a spring game with one quarterback.
Well, they haven't really done it. They had a really late one, Coach Smith's first year, and, you know, they just had kind of a scrimmage for the game itself. So, yeah, I mean, the dwindling bodies makes the spring game kind of tough. So we'll see what they do with it.
I got one more question about your previous guest you had. I should have called in and asked. I was going to ask if the weather has a lot to do with the flu bug. I assume it has some.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
I bet it does. Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't worry about flu so much in the wintertime. Like
right, just the timing of the flu shots. You're right, yeah. Okay, Alan, hey, thank you.
Yep.
Got to move. Back with more in just a moment. Welcome back. Penny for your thoughts. On this Thursday, we'll be in Madison, Wisconsin tomorrow for both hours. Open line tomorrow morning here on Penny for your thoughts. Precision Painting is one of our sponsors. Chad Ebert has a question. Wouldn't the inside of your house look better with a new coat of paint? Of course it would. They do specialize, Precision Painting does, in interior painting and are experts in repairing drywall, getting rid of ugly wallpaper. Who put that wallpaper up, by the way? And removal of dated popcorn ceilings. You don't have popcorn ceilings, do you? Well, they can get rid of all that for you. Precision Painting, experts in making walls look brand new again. They'll move all the furniture for you, move it back when it's done. And their employees at Precision Painting are full-time. Chad wanted you to know that, long-term and trustworthy. Winter rates, by the way, the lowest of the year. Plus, this time of year, you spend most of your free time indoors. Wouldn't it be great if it looked the way you've always wanted? They also paint kitchen cabinets. They can do all of this. Precision Painting, efficient. Quality calls for precision. Precision Painting. Chad Ebert, his number, 384-7590, 384-7590. Give him a call today or visit the website whyprecision.com, whyprecision.com. They're confident you'll be happy, guaranteed. Stephen Bentz is with us here on the phone, the director of the Virginia Theater. And, Stephen, too bad to find out our REO concert been postponed.
Yeah, that's right, Brian. It's not good news, but we're just excited that they are absolutely committed to the idea of getting a new date on the calendar at the Virginia, and we know they're going to move forward with that.
So it was originally scheduled for February 8th, so if folks have their tickets for that show, what do they need to do?
Well, that's right. Yeah, February 8th was the original concert date. And what we've heard from the band is that ticket holders should absolutely hold on to their current tickets. And we're just going to honor those tickets at the new date.
So that don't jump ship, basically.
That's exactly right. Yeah, hold on to your ticket, and you'll present that at the front gate like you normally do, and you'll just be let in with that ticket, even though it says February 8 on it.
Right.
No problem.
No makeup date announced yet. How soon do you think that will come out? I mean, I know it depends a little bit on, you know, all of what's going on around it with health, but any idea how that usually works? Is it within a couple of weeks, or does it take longer?
Yeah, they usually try to clear these pretty quickly. I know, you know, Kevin Cronin, the lead singer, of course, has got some health challenges and has been very forward upfront about that on the website. But he's expected to make a full recovery, and they're scheduling a whole bunch of dates that were to have landed in either January late or early February. So we were just right in the pocket there, unfortunately. And all of those dates are going to be reset. And it takes a little bit to get the logistics done on that. But I think we're just looking at a matter of days or maybe a couple of weeks.
Okay. And any questions? People should just call the Virginia Theater, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, you can call 356-9063 at our box office. Or best way to get information as we post it is to sign up for our e-newsletter at thevirginia.org.
Okay. Hey, Stephen, thank you for the time, and thanks for the update on that.
We appreciate it. Thank
you. All right.
You.
Thank you, Stephen Bentz, director of the Virginia Theater, with us here this morning on the REO Speedwagon postponed concert. February 8th, lead singer Kevin Cronin underwent what he calls a routine medical procedure. And again, hang on to your tickets and just follow along with the Virginia Theater. Check the website. Give them a call if you have any questions. And they can just kind of give you information and advice on when they will reschedule that concert. All right. We're at 10:22. 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. I'm just looking here at some earlier, if I can get to it, earlier text of not related to the flu or anything else. CJ was upset with the guests this morning, I guess, on the morning show. He says, I'll return to my first love, shortwave and free branding. But he was upset about Dick Durbin. He referred to Dick Durbin and now his followers and wannabes on the air. So that text from CJ. Also a text in says the woman Democratic candidate for the 13th District, this is was on the morning show this morning, said she was self-employed for 19 years, but no one pressed her for what she did as a self-employed person. What was her occupation? And then Bill sent in a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, said, listening to CBS News made me wonder who I believe less, CBS or Dick Durbin. So there you go. All of the texts and emails that have come in. We're at 356-9397. We're at 1024. Busey Money Talk coming up at 1030. So we have a couple of minutes left here to visit with you if you want to get something in very quickly. Hope you've had a wonderful new year and start to the new year here in 2018. A lot of people have resolutions. Hey, I want to lose weight. I want to read scripture more. I want to attend church on a regular basis. I want to be kinder to those around me. There are all kind of resolutions you can make. But I hope you go to the Beef House in Covington, Indiana sometime in the near future. They've been serving outstanding steaks since 1964 there at I-74, Exit 4 in Covington, Indiana. Not just great steaks, though. Chicken, pork, pasta, seafood, all of those are available. If you'd like to do the lunch buffet, don't hesitate to do that. I've done that several times, the lunch buffet with different people here at the station. Run over there, and they've got a great lunch buffet, the best around. You can wrap it all up with a piece of pie. You can you got the salad bar there. You can do that for lunch if you'd like. So feel free to do that. The Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The famous Beef House Rolls. We all love those. Always try to make a stop there. Anytime the Illini football team or basketball team goes to Indiana or Purdue, that's like an automatic required stop. So we try to do it. So hope you will. Make that a resolution for 2018. The Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Well, tomorrow morning we'll broadcast live from Madison, Wisconsin. We'll have both hours for you up there. We'll get ready for the Illini basketball game against the Wisconsin Badgers, who just got blitzed by Purdue the other night. Purdue, I don't know, is that a Final Four team? They look pretty good. Seem to be the cream of the crop. Michigan State has had a couple of hiccups here lately. I still think Michigan State is a team built to make a deep run into the Final Four, but Right now it's Purdue and Ohio State at the top. I don't know if you saw Rutgers blew out Iowa last night. Iowa never really got in that ball game. Rutgers jumped on them early. Iowa, I think, crawled back to within 8 or 10. They kept mentioning their comeback against Illinois from last week. And please stop mentioning that. I kept saying to the TV, I'm trying to forget that one. But anyway, it was interesting to watch last night. Ohio State took care of Northwestern last night. All right, busy show today. We appreciate Julie Pride being with us on that first hour. A lot of great calls and texts and emails for her. We'll have her on her again sometime a little later on. And again, appreciate Stephen Bentz popping on for a couple of minutes about the concert postponement for REO and Martin O'Donnell as well with the Illinois quarterback situation. That's it for today. Busey Money Talk is next on WDWS. Stay tuned for that.